Welcome to the Eco News Report. I'm your host this week, Tom Wheeler, Executive Director of EPIC, the Environmental Protection Information Center. And I'm joined by my colleague and coworker at EPIC, Matt Simmons, Staff Attorney. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Tom.
And we're also joined by my friend and Executive Director of the North Coast Environmental Center, Caroline Griffith. Hey, Caroline.
Hi, Tom. Nice to see you.
All right. And we have a repeat guest back on the show, Warner Chabot from the San Francisco Estuary Institute. Hey, Warner.
Good afternoon.
All right. And we are talking about terrible tires and what they do to our favorite North Coast salmonid, the coho salmon. So long-term listeners will remember Warner coming on the show before to tell us about this chemical in tires, 6-PPD, which research has linked to salmon deaths, and we have an update. So we have Warner back on the show. But for folks who maybe didn't catch that first episode, let's go back and talk about the history, the research that has discovered the impact of this chemical. So, Warner, what the hell are we talking about here? What is 6-PPD, and why is it in tires, and why is it bad for salmon?
A, because it kills salmon. For starters, let me just give a little bit of context. The San Francisco Estuary Institute, we're both a nonprofit environmental science research institute and a nonprofit environmental consulting firm. We predominantly serve local, regional, state natural resource agency leaders in the Bay, Delta, and Northern California area. For like 27 years, one of the things that we do is we manage the San Francisco Bay Regional Monitoring Program, where we independently, objectively measure water quality in San Francisco Bay and provide data and science and tools for decision makers, be they local, regional, state agencies that deal with water quality in the Bay. So one of the issues that certainly has arisen over the last decade is a concern about microplastics in the Bay. And we started doing studies to try to better quantify microplastics in San Francisco Bay. One of the things we realized is that there are literally trillions of particles of microplastics that go into the Bay. A vast percentage of them tend to be rubberized particles, basically tire wear, where tires just wear down on the streets, the rain washes it off the freeways into the storm drain channels and into the Bay. And this occurs anywhere around the United States, and where certain research was done was up in Seattle. And so in San Francisco Bay, we found enormous large quantities of tire particles going into San Francisco Bay. Parallel to us, up in the state of Washington, Washington State University was discovering significant coho salmon die-offs, especially when there was the first flush, when the first rains came in the winter and washed off the urban streets going into urban creeks. And they noticed a significant die-off of coho salmon. And they started studying that. And over a period of time, through a variety of studies, they concluded that this chemical that almost all global tire manufacturers put into the tires, called 6-PPD, is a chemical that's meant to slow down and the wear of tires. But the downside of it is that when that chemical that's in the tire interacts with sort of the friction of the tire driving down the road and oxygen, it converts, it evolves into another chemical called 6-PPD quinine. And that chemical is what then washes off into the streams and basically kills coho salmon. Back in the Bay Area, we then measured various. So we definitely knew that it was killing salmon up in Washington State, but for California, the San Francisco Estuary Institute did some further studies, and we concluded and we found quantities of this chemical in at least four major storm drain systems that were draining into San Francisco Bay. So we presume by extrapolation that for the streams further up the coast from the Golden Gate Bridge to the Oregon border, there's a strong likelihood that we're seeing similar runoff into those streams on the North Coast, and coho salmon being one of the more significant salmon species in the San Francisco Bay Area. That led in the California Department of Environmental Quality, there is a subdepartment called the DTSC, the Department of Toxics Substance Control. And that department then undertook about a year ago, or maybe 18 months ago, they started to do a more significant study of this chemical. And more recently, they concluded with a 100-page report that's in their recent publications and is posted on the DTSC website, that this chemical is such that it deserves to be determined a priority chemical for regulation by DTSC. So what the DTSC did was on Friday, they issued a public notice in the California Register of regulations that they intend to begin a process. There's a 45-day comment period for people to comment on this process that DTSC is going to undertake. At the end of that 45-day period, if they can, depending on public comments they get, but I would guess with a very high degree of certainty, based on the 100-page study that they have done and based on the research that was done by Washington State and by SFEI, they will take the next step, which is to initiate a rulemaking that basically requires the tire industry to try to determine if there are viable alternatives to this 6 PPD chemical so that we come up with a substitute that might meet the needs of tire wear, but is not as deadly to salmon populations. So we have a 45-day comment period that starts with some public comment, and then sometime around June, July, more like July to August, the Department of Toxic Substance Control will more than likely start a process with, in collaboration and coordination with the industry, to try to find an alternative to this product. If they are unable to find an alternative, it's unclear what's going to happen. But I think it's fair to assume that the state will take very strong action to try to eventually ban this chemical from tires. And this chemical tends to be in almost every tire that's sold in California. And since California is 10% of the nation, this is really a kind of a national issue. I'll stop there. That was a little bit long-winded.
That's great. And that gives us kind of an overall summary of what we hope to talk about today. So we can get into a little bit more into the research that has determined that this chemical is causing these impacts to salmon and what the sort of impacts are. And then we can talk about the solutions part. But Caroline, I see you've come off mute, so I'm going to give the floor to you.
Yeah, it seems like you got a flow though. And my question is more about alternatives and solutions. So if you want me to wait until later, I can wait until
let's put that on a brief pause and talk about how we got here with the science. So Warner, as you said, researchers at the University of Washington based out of Seattle have been studying tires. Can you talk about kind of how they did this study? Because we have a very high degree of certainty that it is this particular chemical, and it is through the kind of change that it goes through by its use on roads, through heating up and exposure to air, and it's changed to the 6-PPD quinine is what's in tonic water, right? So it's not that, yeah. Probably.
I think it's pronounced quinone.
Quinone, thank you.
Quinone, yeah.
Yeah, so how did we get here? Talk to us about the science of how the researchers really got to find this one particular chemical.
I'm sure the story is more complex than this, but I would argue that for simplicity's sake, this is almost a two-step process. Certainly, they saw a significant number of salmon were swimming in circles and gasping for air in the streams in around Seattle and in areas where there were urban creeks that had large roadways where there was significant runoff from the roadways into the creeks. So there was high concentrations of something going into those creeks. Certainly they saw this problem existed after a major rainstorm. So they consequently concluded that let's look at what's washing off the road system into the streams. They then took water samples in the streams and looked for every chemical that they thought might be a potential culprit in this die-off. They zeroed in on this 6-PPD quinone as a likely suspect. And then they took shifted from the streams to the lab, went into the lab, and took a lot of young salmon died for this. They took young salmon in tanks and slowly introduced this level of chemical into tanks at the same level of concentrations of what was washing off the roadways into the streams, and they saw the exact same pattern of the fish swimming in circles, gasping for air. So they saw the symptoms occurring and the death occurring. So that's how they. I'm sure it's more complex than that, but that's the short Warner's amateur version of explaining it.
So it sounds like that study was focused on salmon, and I'm curious if there's been any research following up on impacts on other marine life or even human life, because I mean, a lot of these streams end up being our drinking water, and that's, you know, really concerning what you just described. So I'm curious.
The short answer is yes. I mean, this is certainly salmonoid populations have a lot in common. So there are other, you know, similar species that ongoing studies are going to show. And I think the science work that's been done thus far has shown to have similar effects. So the Washington State is doing the leadership on, let's say, the more significant amount of laboratory and chemical testing on this, but they have found that other salmon related species seem to have similar symptoms and lethality. So I think that is probably a significant thing that's driving the research. I think I have not read it yet, but the paper, there is, as I said, a 100 page paper that was been produced by the Department of Toxic Substance Control that probably goes into greater detail establishing the foundation.
And this may be a question that is also answered in that 100-page paper, but you know, you say that 6 ppd primarily used to prolong the life of tires. Is there any idea of how long this toxin persists in the natural environment once it's not on the tire?
That is a good question for which I do not have the answer. You know, certainly this is, just keep in mind, this goes into the tire particles that rub off into the roadway, and so it's sort of being held in a little rubberized container, like, you know, like bubble gum or something, so it lasts. But it's of a significant enough problem that, and this probably may be one of the issues that they explore with the tire industry going forward.
So as I understand how this chemical works in tires, I think about this old bike that I found in my parents' garage when I was in high school. And the tire, you know, it was a rubber tire, but it had just kind of gotten flaky almost, right? It like the rubber kind of had dried out. And I think that this is in part caused by ozone. Is what are we doing here with 6 ppd in our tires? It seems like it might be useful to have to preserve tires. What is its purpose in tires, and how, why are you hopeful that we could come up with an alternative to its use?
Well, this is likely to be an issue that an enormous amount of pressure is going to come to bear over the next 18 months. Tires are an extraordinarily complex composition, and the industry is a very competitive industry. So a lot of research goes into what's necessary to make sure that tires perform a variety of tasks. And one of them, obviously, for the industry, the tire industry, is that they last a long time. And that's one of the things that you often are looking for, how long this tire is likely to last. A cheaper tire has got less chemical products in it and is going to wear out often a lot faster. So there are other chemicals go into tires like zinc and others that also have pretty toxic potential impacts. It's unknown exactly what the process will be at this point between the scientists and the state agencies and the tire industry, because the U.S. market is so large and this is a fundamental chemical that is installed in all tires. We're talking a multi-billion dollar industry. This is not only the tire industry, this is the auto industry. Ultimately, it's an international issue. So consequently, we're likely to see potentially arguments from the industry that they can't come up with an alternative, in which case I think the lawyers and the scientists and the lobbyists and the political leaders are going to have to hammer out a solution. This is sort of a unique science, regulatory, public safety, public policy issue that I don't think will be resolved quickly, but certainly California has a reputation, and under this administration, you could bet that the Secretary of Cal EPA, Jared Blumenfeld, is going to take this issue very seriously. He has demonstrated a very high level of concern about issues of this type of pollution level. So you can be assured that both he and Meredith Williams, the director of the Department of Toxic Substance Control, are both extremely committed public servants, and they are going to see this through.
The Eco News Report. And we are talking about terrible tires and what they do to our favorite North Coast salmonid, the coho salmon. Well, I really do like California leading the way here. And that's one of the things I'm proudest of for this state, of which I am a resident, is that we lead the nation on many things. And as you also mentioned, we have this purchasing power here. We have this economic effect as the largest state in the nation, the most powerful economic state in the nation, that when California starts to move in one direction, we see nationwide marketplace reaction. So hopefully California can continue to lead the way here on 6PPD. So we have the Department of Toxic Substances Control, DTSC. They have a proposed rule coming out, and we have an open public comment period. Let's go through what that proposed rule says again. So what is DTSC, which is an arm of the California Administrative State under the
Cal EPA.
Cal EPA, thank you. What are they doing to address 6PPD in our tires?
What they're doing is saying that we've identified this as a kind of a priority product that needs to be investigated because of its at least thus far demonstrated harm to aquatic species. Not only does it affect coho salmon in the San Francisco Bay Area, we have steelhead, rainbow trout, brook trout, all who have also been scientifically tested to be sensitive to this chemical. So this 45-day comment period just starts a process that presents the research that the DTSC, Department of Toxic Substance Control, has conducted, and the findings that they have produced. Now enables anybody to provide additional commentary over a 45-day period. And it's simply announcing that the department intends to regulate this chemical, and the department intends to start a review process that requires the industry, in concert with DTSC scientists, to examine and explore what are the alternatives that might be able to be substituted that enables the tire industry to introduce something into tires that prevents the wear and tear and breakdown, but is not as toxic to the environment. So at the end of a 45-day period, the comments will be reviewed. The DTSC will take a period of time. I'm not sure how long. I would assume probably 30 to 60 days to then make a decision. I would predict that the decision will be to proceed with a process that could be up to 1 to 2 years of research and study to try to identify and test alternatives. I mean, this is a process that, as I said, this is a fundamental chemical that is in almost every tire that is manufactured and sold in the United States. And this is a multi-billion dollar industry. So you can bet that the industry certainly does not want to be shut out of the California market. And they have a strong interest in trying to identify an alternative. And there will probably be, I'm speculating here, but there'll probably be a lot of arguments as to, well, what level of toxic runoff is acceptable from particles that come off the tires. But over that 1 to 2 year period, there will be a process. And I predict that I would hope that between the scientific community and the research community at universities and the industry itself, which I'm sure has a lot of concerns about what's the right word, privacy and trade secrets, there'll be a certain dance between the regulators and the private industry as they try to explore introducing additional products and testing those and determine. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to be able to sort of try the different particles and take laboratory tests and introduce those particles at the same levels of dilution in tanks with different salmon species to see what the impact is on those salmon, and hopefully ultimately we'll come up with better, safer health tires that are healthier for wildlife in the marine environment, especially salmon, which are such a landmark, iconic species in California, and define the health of our streams, that are kind of our canary in the coal mine, so to speak, of the health of our streams throughout California.
Absolutely. Caroline.
As this research has come out and it's been revealed, the harm of this product coming out of the tire industry, has there been a response from the industry in reaction to it? And do you expect any sort of opposition to this rule?
Well, the good news is, to give them credit, the tire industry is cooperating with this. They have not opposed this. The comment period has actually begun, so the proof is in the pudding. We'll see what the lobbyists, the lawyers, the scientists say over the next 45 days. But thus far, the industry has been very cooperative publicly with this process and has indicated that they endorse this process. There are some commentators that suggest that it's in the industry's interest to support this process. In part, one train of thought is that by cooperating with California, they prevent, possibly, or postpone congressional action that might have implications across all 50 states. So, but that's the cynical side. Let's take the optimistic side that says that the industry at least has not opposed this and is publicly endorsed going forward with this very process, which is, again, it's a very, for many people, especially those that care about salmon, it's a painfully slow, methodical process to try to say, what are the alternatives and what are the implications of those alternatives? And what does that do to the cost of tires and many other kind of public and policy ramifications?
I'm really happy that we're talking about this, because I was actually looking at my car recently and thinking of all the ways that it causes harm to the environment, and really being bummed particularly about this issue. And I know that this is a painfully slow process, as you say, to go through and figure out what these alternatives are. What can people do in the meantime? Are there any solutions in the meantime before we find tires that are less damaging to salmon?
Well, the reality is no. You know, I mean, in the sense,
I appreciate you telling the truth there. Yeah.
You could say we could drive less. You could drive, you know, buying long life tires. That tends to sort of benefit both water quality and the pocketbook. You know, some of the highly rated tires that cost a little bit more tend to last three times longer than the others. So it, just in terms of wear and tear, pollutants that go into the streams, and we may find that there are other pollutants. So buying higher, sort of like you get what you pay for, if you're willing to spend more on tires, the reality is they're like to last a lot longer. There is an interesting, depending on additional studies that might reveal other levels of toxicity from tires, there are various technologies that industry leaders are looking at, modifying the design of car tires so that there is something in the wheel well that actually collects the particles that come off the tire. So that might be something that might sound a little corny to some, but if there are additional findings about the wear and tear, and we found that, for example, within San Francisco Bay, more than half of the microplastic particles in San Francisco Bay were these small rubberized particles. And those particles also tend to often provide a platform for other forms of pollution and chemicals to attach themselves to. So there might be, and I'm starting to speculate here beyond, but there might be scientific findings and rationale to try to encourage the industry to maybe modify auto design so that we're not leaving literally, we have trillions of particles that are washing into San Francisco Bay. And San Francisco Bay is like, you know, the Bay Area is one-fifth the population of California, which is 10% the population of the nation. So there are trillions upon trillions of these particles that are washing into every aquatic system across the United States. So that's one issue that several innovative car designers are trying to say, could we find ways of sort of actually using the centrifugal force of in a wheel well and finding a way of sort of capturing these particles. So that's one thing that's also being explored.
Well, so all of this is pretty interesting. I had to buy a new pair of tires for my truck last year. And just to reflect on the sheer amount of microplastic pollution that I must generate by driving around in my car, to think about the, like, what is it, half inch that I wore down in tread to the point where my tires were bald enough that I felt like I needed to replace them, that took... multiply that by the surface area of four tires, that's quite a bit. And all of that is just microplastic that is getting deposited on our roadway. And let's center the conversation back here around Humboldt County. So just imagine the way our roads are designed, how many of them run parallel to river networks, because those are often the easiest place to build a road. You know, you don't have to go over hill and hill and hill and hill because the river kind of cuts through everything. So we have the 199 that runs parallel to the Smith River, the largest undammed river here in California and a major salmon refugia. We have Highway 101 that runs parallel to the Eel River in many places. We have
299 in the Trinity River.
299 in the Trinity River, 36 in the Van Dusen. So many of our major rivers are immediately adjacent to major highways, too. So I am really hopeful that we can figure out something to do here, whether it's a replacement chemical or cool new tire or car tech that collects microplastics so that I don't eventually also consume this microplastic when it gets into the food system and then ends up in my body. We had a recent show here on the Eco News Report where we reported on new science that finds that microplastic has been found in human blood. So it goes beyond just the salmon.
Ultimately, it is a human health issue that boils down to when you start talking about the issue of microplastics. I would say if anyone is interested, there is a company, and it's called the Tire Collective, and tire spelled T-Y-R-E. So if you just
Google
the Tire Collective, T-Y-R-E, and that is one of the companies that is experimenting with and exploring this new technology and techniques to try to capture tire particles. So
Warner, if people are interested in learning more about this issue, if they're interested in learning more about your research and your work at the San Francisco Estuary Institute, where would you direct people to go?
Well, if they want to learn more about the San Francisco Estuary Institute, it's www.sfei.org. SFEI stands for San Francisco Estuary Institute, www.sfei.org. That takes you to our website. Otherwise, you can go to just Google the Department of Toxic Substance Control, and there will be information there that will guide you to what DTSC is doing. And they have a website. They have a minute video that explains this. There is access to the 100-page report that accompanies this decision. They issued a press release on Monday. So if you go to the DTSC website and look under news releases, there'll be a news release there that has links to a variety of documents to provide further information for anyone that wants this further information.
And as always, the show notes for the show are found on thelostcoastoutpost.com. Or if you're listening to this as a podcast, which you can find on Apple Podcasts or any of your favorite podcast app, give it a 5-star rating, please. You can also find show notes in the podcast app, too. You will find links to all of this stuff. And so go check it out. Go to thelostcoastoutpost.com. Check out the show notes and click on the links to find out more. Warner, thank you so much for joining the Eco News Report again. And I'm looking forward to having you on, hopefully in the future, when we find out that there is an alternative to 6 PPD in our tires and we have a solution to the salmon killing problem.
Hopefully we'll be able to report good news and to make salmon happy and people that catch salmon and eat salmon happy.
All right. Thank you so much to Warner Chabot from the San Francisco Estuary Institute. This has been another episode of the Eco News Report. Join us again on this time and channel next week for more environmental news from the North Coast of California.